So yeah, Gerd Stern, he was a famous letter that Neil Cassady wrote to Jack Kerouac. Ginsberg got a hold of it, gave it to Gerd. Gerd returned it, but Ginsberg lost it, blamed Gerd. So it's been famous in beatnik circles for 50 to 60 years that Gerd Stern lost the most important document, because that letter was an 18-page rant by Neil Cassady that inspired the style of Kerouac's On the Road. So it was legendary. No one knew about the letter to Kerouac in 1968, announced in an interview in Paris Review, one of those culture magazines. He laid out the fact that Kerouac had inspired him. Now, the question is, Kerouac died in 68. Did he die, and then Jack Kerouac gets interviewed and decided to hoik up his friend and made up this story? You have to look at when was the date of the interview and when was the date that Kerouac died in 68. I don't know. I don't have the Paris Review archive, so you can look that up and see if they match. That might have been the little conspiracy that Jack Kerouac launched. But anyways, it became legendary, and then about 2 years ago, this woman found it because her father was involved in the publishing. And then they figured out it was the letter. So Jerry Cimino, who I just met in March 2013, I went in there, became his friend. He got intrigued by me. I told him I knew Gerd Stern. We called Gerd Stern, and this guy, Jerry Cimino, at the Beat Museum, which is right near the City Lights bookstore, put me and Gerd on his advisory council. So that was that. That was March 2013. So then I'm talking to Gerd, arranging him to renew his RNA drops a month ago. And Gerd said, had I seen the news about the letter? And I said, no, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know about the letter. So he told me, I looked it up, and I said, holy shit. And in the article, it says that when Jerry Cimino called Gerd to tell him they found the letter, that Gerd said, wow, 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 20 times. And then Jerry says, Gerd started to laugh. And he said, I never heard anybody laugh as long as Gerd laughed at that insight or at that news. So it was a big release for Gerd, and I'm taking fucking credit for it because I asked Ion. I think we asked it right on here. Go back a few weeks. Maybe I can find it and play it. I asked Ion, did you place that letter there? And Ion says, we certainly did. And then Ion said, a lot more are going to be placed there. So I told that to Gerd, who's on the drops and knows a bit about Ion, but I don't think he listens or anything, but he knows something what we're doing. I told him this, and he says, I don't doubt it, Bob. So here's this inside story that involves us, and you can go to the Beat Museum at Kerouac.com and look at the press conference they held on December 27th. It's really good. It's about an hour long, and you can watch Gerd and Cimino and the other guy who found it talk about it. It's a really good hour-long thing. But you'll have the extra insight that it was fucking Dobbstown that caused this. You can look at Gerd being interviewed, and then you say, there's that 86-year-old guy. He lived. The rest of them all died. And he talks about how he and Ginsberg tried to anal rape him, all incredible stories. Gerd starts first. He starts it first. And, you know, he's the one who gave Ginsberg his first marijuana joint. It's all in this interview. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, Gerd's very important. You got the 24 hours, you hear all this stuff. And here he is, the only one of the beatniks, hardly anybody else still around. And he's on the drops, and while he's on the drops, this miracle happens.
Did it help to establish who lost the letter when the letter was recovered?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Gerd was right. He had returned it. Yeah. It all got proven and validated that Gerd was not lying. He didn't lose it, and it was all silly. And it was just another prank by Ginsberg, who always had a problem with Gerd. And Gerd explains this. Ginsberg thought everybody should be a homosexual. They resented that Gerd would not become a homosexual, so they fucking tried to rape him. When they attempted to rape him in the early 50s, I think Kerouac might have been there, or Neil Cassady and a couple other guys. The guy that was supposed to stick his dick into Gerd's bum couldn't get it up, so Gerd was saved.
They were holding him down or something?
Yes, they were holding him down.
Oh, God.
Listen, Ginsberg, he's in the hospital with Carl Solomon, who's Ginsberg's hero. He's the guy that Howl's all about. But Gerd's there first, then Carl, they meet, and there's some phatic exchange when Gerd meets the guy. He's holding a big pile of books. This is Carl Solomon. And Gerd says, hello. And the guy he drops the books out of his hands and shakes Garrett's hand, and he says, "Define your terms." And so they become friends, and about a month later, Ginsburg shows up. So then the three of them become very mischievous in this nut house. It's a place where young Jewish intellectuals and poets can go to. So they hang out there pretending they're screwed up, and they cause all these pranks. And then Gerd goes out. He gets on leave, and he's allowed to go out. So he gets some marijuana and brings it back in, gives it to Ginsburg, and I guess Carl. I'm not sure about Carl. And then Ginsburg reports Gerd. He fucking turns him in. And so Gerd gets kicked out of the lunatic place. He says right there in the interview, you hear him refer to this, he says, "I was glad to go. I was sick of the place." So even though Ginsburg was an asshole, it worked out. So he said there was always an ongoing issue between him and Gerd. And here it is. He cites a poem he wrote. He says, "Alan died, Jack died, I didn't, I'm still here." I think that's the poem. It's a great story.
I remember when you interviewed him for Wiretaps, and I thought he was a very gentle and a thoughtful man.
Oh, he is.
He seemed like he didn't fall for the glitz and glamour of the beatnik stuff.
Exactly. He created every fucking movement. He was a friend of McLuhan. He gave me McLuhan's correspondence with him. He started the digital stuff before anybody. He built the stage at Woodstock and then had to take it down and go to Max Yazger's farm and redo it again, you know, a week later. It's incredible. Every scene, he's there. He engineered Alan Watts at KPFA in the 50s. On the radio.
I guess the thing that impressed me about him was that he seemed so casual about it all.
Well, that's what he is. He's aware. You know, that's why he's scared, why he's still alive and everybody else is dead. I mean, he's cosmic.